The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Neil Atkinson, Anfield Wrap. We've talked all things Everton. It's time to throw the spotlight
what's going on?
Liverpool. And it wasn't a great weekend for the Reds either, was it? My word. It wasn't a great weekend for Merseyside. What is going on, Neil?
And Liverpool were poor. And they were poor in specific moments more than they were poor in general. Partially, well, that is massively because of individuals, but also I don't think the setup was right for the Reds. So I think two things happen. Liverpool are set up incorrectly, first and foremost, and they've not really anticipated what Spurs are going to do a bit differently, which I think is interesting in the context of this whole season. It's something that I think Klopp and Liverpool are going to have to get used to, which is, I think, if you'd have sat all the Premier League, well, the top seven, last season's top seven, including Ronald Koeman, down at the start of the season and said, what's your three biggest games next season? I think almost all of them would have included Liverpool home and away in that three because of Liverpool's record against the top three. So what happens is Liverpool are coming up against sides that are as prepared as they possibly can be, who are as intense as they possibly can be, because they don't want to be made a fool of by Liverpool, which happened to a lot of these sides last season. Mm. Last season, Liverpool went to White Hart Lane. It finished 1-1, but we deserved to win.
Won it, yeah.
This season, what's happened there is Tottenham have come out set up really rather differently to normal. It's partially through accidents in that both Dembele, Wanyama and Dier were all not available. But also they were clearly had an idea as to what they were going to do against Liverpool, which was to play 2-on-2 at centre-forward / centre-half in the early start of the game and see if they could get Liverpool turned around and put them in trouble. And that's the way in which it worked out for them. So it's partially a systemic thing. It's partially in individuals who aren't great. Lovren's terrible for the first and second goal. But I think even the second goal, where he makes a ridiculous decision, James Milner floats that cross into the box, and the only players behind James Milner on the pitch are Jordan Henderson and the two centre-backs when he does so. And my point,
James Milner ends up having to track.
Well, he's the fourth deepest, and that's why he makes that run, and that's why it's Milner who's got to do that. But it's his cross that Lloris catches out the air and then throws the ball forward because every other Liverpool player is in front of the ball, and that's indicative of the way in which Liverpool approach both situations in the game. But it's also there's a Guardiola quote from last year where his team's defending's being criticised, and he stops the interviewer and he says, "Well, I don't expect my side to be able to defend that well if they attack that badly." And the Milner cross is a great example of, if you're going to be doing that, lads, you've got to keep the ball, and you don't just get to do something aimless, because if you do, you'll get punished. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. Obviously, then Lovren charges out to try to win the header because he's hugely concerned about Harry Kane. But as I said last night, if he does the right thing, stands his ground, lets Kane pick the ball up, there's every chance Kane beats him one-on-one anyway. And then suddenly, we're in exactly the same scenario. Kane's coming through on goal.
If he stands him up one-on-one, surely Liverpool have got an opportunity to get more players back.
Well, you might get some cavalry, but you might just barge him out the way. I mean, Kane's a really good player, but you know, there's bits and pieces in there. But for me, the killer goal, and the one where I think if you are Jurgen Klopp, you're furious, is the third.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Scandalous.
It is scandalous. Mm. And you know, again, there's lots and lots of criticism of Lovren, but he's not on the pitch for the third. Instead, there's three or four individuals who...
culpable.
Yeah, and who should know better. These are senior professionals. Emre Can.
It's just communication, that, isn't it, between Matip and Mignolet?
Matip and Mignolet should be doing better. No one charges out down the free ball. It's a terrible header from Matip. Even if there's no communication from Mignolet, what's he doing? Mm. Where does he think he's heading it? He can head it in a number of different directions, but he decides that that's where he's going to head it. But also the actual giving away of the ball, and then lastly the free kick by Emre Can. It's 45 minutes on the clock. All that Liverpool would have done at 2-0 was, if you can get in at 2-1, lads,
2-1,
brilliant. And instead they do the absolute opposite. And I think it's... there, Chan is guilty of doing what he's done too often this season for me, which is overplaying, just chewing the ball, keeping the ball, keeping the ball. He should just be getting it out from under his feet and doing the simple things, because not least because he's been terrible all half.
Yeah.
Play to
Neil,
where you are.
It can't go on. How many times have you sat in that seat and talked about Liverpool's defensive frailties? Jurgen Klopp has got all this week now to sit there and analyse and work with his team. This is a rarity. He's got them for the whole week with no games.
Yeah, he has got them for the whole week. But you're saying it can't go on, but one of the issues he has is that he's only got the players that he's got.
Till January.
That's his choice. Till January, but he's the only player he's ever bought in a January transfer window for Liverpool, Stephen Colker. I think that they will try and get Virgil van Dijk again. But it's, I mean, you know, since van Dijk's come back into the Southampton side, he hasn't looked like Franco Baresi, if we're all honest about it. So, you know, I think even there, I think Liverpool are always going to defend to a certain extent on a knife edge with this manager. And there is a part of me which says to people, if you don't like it, then you're going to have to say that you want a new manager. And that's, you know, that's a whole different conversation.
Are you one of those?
No, absolutely not. I think the way in which Liverpool do succeed is by being innovative, by being clever, and by looking to attack. And I'm as concerned about what Liverpool are doing in attack still as I am about what's happening at the back. What's happening at the back, I can point at to a certain extent and say it's individual errors. Whereas what was frustrating about the Tottenham game was the ease with which, bar one fantastic hit ball from Henderson to Salah, with which Liverpool found themselves nullified. And I think that that's where there's got to be improvement pretty quickly. I think the defending issue is Liverpool now come up against, have a relatively, they've got through Liverpool first nine games, Liverpool's first nine games versus their second nine games are completely different. They've got a more straightforward run of fixtures. Yes, there's the derby in there, and yes, there's Chelsea at home in there. But apart from that, these are games that Liverpool, on the whole, won last season, with the exception of the dreadful outcome of the 4-3 against Bournemouth. Last season, these are all games Liverpool took 3 points from, or at the very least, a point. And I think that that's now what has to happen. Liverpool have to go on the charge. And if they don't, then it's a season that's just going to get away from them. And that's going to be the toughest part for the manager to deal with than anything else so far since he's been in the job. Because we've seen that too often before. And where I do feel a little sorry for the manager at times, but where something I think he does need to acknowledge and get his head around is he is managing a football club that have had too many near misses followed by unmitigated disasters in terms of seasons. Too many seasons that have gone, broadly speaking, pretty well, but not ended in the piece of silverware everyone wants, that then get followed up by seasons that just completely disappear out of sight by Christmas. It's happened to all of his predecessors that count, that matter, in terms of Roy Evans, Gerard Houllier, Rafa Benitez. Dalglish is a separate case because he only got a year and a half. Brendan Rodgers, happened to Brendan Rodgers. And that, what we don't want to see, what supporters don't want to see, is that happen again to Jurgen Klopp and to this set of players. I think that they can't get Mane and Lallana back soon enough. And the same with Nathaniel Klein, because I think if I was the manager, I think he's got a duty of care to Dejan Lovren to take him out the firing line for 3 weeks, to be honest. I don't even think it's as simple as whether or not how well he's playing, all of that sort of stuff. But there's been all sorts of talk of him taking five or six different types of painkillers before he gets on the pitch. Right. There's been the way in which he clearly was battered and bruised by that game, the subsequent reaction he's had where he's deleted his account effectively on social media and he's shutting down, battening down the hatches. I think that, you know, there's a lot of talk. We do a lot of talk about sort of mental health stuff. Well, you know, everyone loves that on the internet at the minute. Well, I think that Dejan Lovren knows how bad he was. He doesn't need you telling him over and over again.
No, exactly.
So I think that at this point, if I was the manager, I'd be saying, right, you're out.
He said it's a clean slate, though, hasn't he? Basically, training this week. Let's see who's up for it.
But that would, for me, be including Joe Gomez playing at centre-back.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd be doing. That's where I think Nathaniel Klein's huge. He's been hugely missed all season, Nathaniel Klein, and it's been the idea of always wanting a new thing, which is why that hasn't been more widely acknowledged by Liverpool supporters. I think Klein, if we can get him back in the other side of the international break, bring him back in, and I'd be giving Gomez 5 games at centre-back and telling Gomez he's got 5 games at centre-back. This isn't the idea that you do it game one, or you don't. It's not sink or swim. It's that you get 5 games and we're going to have a look at you there. And I'd be doing that. I'd be grudgingly putting him next to Matip, because I agree with the manager when he says it's not like Matip's that much better, has been and is in general that much better than Dejan Lovren. But I'd be looking at getting Gomez in, settled in. I'd be looking at I think the thing about this now is he doesn't like the goalkeeper. We know he doesn't like the goalkeeper. He's tried to replace him twice.
Not many do.
So he should, if he doesn't like the goalkeeper, he should just bomb him out now. That's it. He can do that. He's got that option. I'd rather he bombed him out for Danny Ward. He would probably rather he bombed him out for Karius. But I think he should do that now. Get that out the way. And then anything else he wants to do. At this moment, Klopp can do the clean slate thing and he can make 5 changes to the side and everyone will say, okay, fine. If he doesn't do it now and he perseveres, then what will happen is that it'll stop being their problem and it'll become his. So if he perseveres with any one of his decisions now, he can do anything. He could strip Henderson of the captaincy if he wanted. I wouldn't, but he could. And everyone would go, okay. I'd go, okay, I like Jordan Henderson. But if he decided to do that, I'd go, all right, yeah. in the same way that, for instance, going back to 81 after one terrible result and a terrible run of form, Paisley strips Thompson of the captaincy and gives it to Souness. It's the night of the long knives. He gets rid of five players. He brings five in from the reserves. You can do anything right now if you're Jurgen Klopp. Absolutely anything. But if you don't do it now and then you're 6 months down the line and the season gets away, the criticism will be much more sort of at Jurgen Klopp than it will at those players. So whatever it is he wants to do, he can do. But then from this point onwards, very much, and I think that's the case anyway, and I think he tries to say that, but very much the responsibility for everything is his. So he can't be clever in 6 months' time.
The responsibility is his, but I just want to touch on this point that's been brought up by many about the fact that so many Brendan Rodgers players still in this Liverpool.
Yeah, but Brendan Rodgers is a terrific football manager, and I think that all the stuff around, look at how many points Brendan Rodgers had after this many games and Jurgen Klopp. One of the things that overlooks is that Brendan Rodgers is really, really good at his job and was very, very good at his job as Liverpool manager for a long time. At this run of games that we're currently in, this many games into Brendan Rodgers' time at Liverpool, Liverpool were winning every week up and down the country. They were putting five, sixes and sevens past people up and down the country. There's a laziness around the idea that, you know, that Rodgers is this dreadful manager, in the same way that those chickens should hopefully be home to roost for Evertonians, in that Roberto Martinez was a better Everton manager than Ronald Koeman. He was significantly better. Yeah. But because, for whatever reason, a personality type doesn't go down that well on this city, leads people to go, well, he was terrible. He wasn't terrible. He's a really good manager.
So Brendan Rodgers for Everton?
That would be the best appointment Everton could make. But he hasn't lost. Brendan Rodgers hasn't lost a domestic match in over a year. Literally, he's never lost a domestic match while he's been Celtic manager. Brendan Rodgers is a terrific football manager, and as I say, I think that people need to acknowledge that and get their heads around it a little bit. It's for me, for Klopp though, now to move forward is to say, well, yeah, they're all his players, and the reason why they're all his players is because he's had ample opportunity to sell them and replace them with new ones, and he's chosen not to do that. So they're his players. The hiding behind, they were bought by somebody else. If this was Klopp's, if Klopp was 3 months or even one window into his management reign, then fine. But he isn't. He is not that length of time.
Okay, then.
He's had four windows.
This weekend coming up,
Klopp's
best mate visits Anfield on the back of a great victory. It was the only good news for Liverpool at the weekend, wasn't it? Huddersfield beating Man United. How do Liverpool shape up in this game against Huddersfield?
I'd probably look at, I'd make a decision on whether or not he wants to sit someone next to Henderson for a few weeks and go to something that's more like 4-2-1-3. And I think he does want to do that, so he should do it. However he does it with the personnel, that's down to him. But I would look at, finding a way to get, I'd play Alexander-Arnold, I will play Gomez at centre-back. I'd play Danny Ward in goal. As I say, I think he'll play Karius. I think he will have had this one marked down to play Robertson in at left-back, but I think it'd be ridiculously harsh. And if we are doing we're making a fair few changes, boys, shout, I wouldn't want to lump Moreno in with the other footballers who I think of. Like, for instance, I thought Moreno's game against Spurs was much better than Matip's. But I'd keep Matip in because you can only make so many changes. You've got to play someone. So I would probably therefore keep Moreno in and then play Robertson against Maribor in the following game. But I think Robertson does need to get some time on the pitch. I would play a centre midfield too. Ian Salmon on one of our shows yesterday said Oxlade-Chamberlain with Henderson. And I think that's not unreasonable, to be honest with you, in that. That's something to have a little look at. Oxlade-Chamberlain says he wants to play there. But I think you maybe just, you see if Wijnaldum's fit, and if he isn't, you pick from anyone you can get your hands on next to Henderson in the middle of the park, up to and including possibly Gruitch, who I'm not convinced by, or even Ovi Ejaria, who played very well last night for the under-23s. And then I play Coutinho in the middle of the pitch, but very, very high, in behind Oxlade-Chamberlain on one side, Salah on the other, and I will pick Firmino through the middle. But I'd be very, very close to bringing Solanke in.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.